Good evening, everybody. Certainly good to be back and certainly good to see everyone that was able to make it back this evening. Please open your Bibles to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, and this evening we're going to be looking at the conversion of Lydia. Let's start reading in Acts chapter 16 at verse 6. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the woman who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul, and when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." So she persuaded us. So here we have the conversion of Lydia. And this evening, I'd like for us to understand a little bit about Lydia, her background, to understand the role of the one presenting the gospel to her, Paul, to understand the conversion of Lydia itself, and to understand her response to the precious gospel. So when we stop and think about Lydia, Lydia was a remarkable woman. She has some very outstanding traits, and it's important that we understand those traits so that we can understand the story that follows. And we see in Acts 16, verses 13 and 14, on the Sabbath day, we. Well, who is the we that we're reading about here? Well, Paul is on his second missionary journey. He had Silas with him. We learn from Acts chapter 15 that he picks up Timothy. So Timothy is with him. And then who's the writer? It's Luke. So it's Paul, Luke, Timothy, and Silas. They went forth out of the gate by the riverside, where we suppose there is a place of prayer. And they find Lydia. We learn from verse 14 that Lydia was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira. This suggests that she had some wealth. Purple, as it's referring to here, was not referring to some material or cloth, but a dye that was sold. And it was an expensive dye. And so expensive that only the best qualities of material were dyed purple. So you talk about rich kings wearing royal purple or wearers of purple. So when you consider what she did, she would have been a woman of some financial means. She would have been living probably pretty comfortable. Thyatira is noted for its purple dye. Something with this, though, in verse 14, now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. I've heard so many people, preachers, teachers, commentators talk about, you know, this woman Lydia, she made this trip that would have been 300 miles from her hometown to come to where she is. And she was a faithful worshiper of God, praying here by the river. Well, and you know, I'm very careful not to say something that the Bible doesn't say. And I can't read anywhere where it talks about her being on a business trip, even though I've heard a lot of people say that, because when you go down to verse 15, and when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." So she persuaded us. She had a house here in Philippi. And we'll look at that a little bit more as we get toward the end of this lesson. Sometimes people ask me, "Where are you from?" And I tell them, "I'm from Xenia." Does that mean I live there now? No. Some of you from here are from Kentucky, Tennessee, other places. Does that mean you're living there now? No. You're here, but it's a reference point where someone comes from. But notice Lydia was a religious woman in verse 14. She was religious. She was one who worshiped God. Her name is Greek, so perhaps she was a convert to Judaism. And it's interesting, too, who is traveling with Paul? Paul is going to preach to the Gentiles, and Luke, who is a Greek, is traveling with him, and they are preaching to or speaking to this woman who is Greek also. And again, there are so many generalizations, good and bad, that we make. And I've heard people say, you know, all business people are greedy and wicked. Well, here we have an example of a businesswoman that was neither. She was a religious person. Here's a successful business person that was not. She was a worshiper of God. And when the Sabbath came around, she put aside the cares of that day and she went down by the riverside to pray. And it was while she was at the side of the river praying that the Apostle Paul came to her with this message. And it's interesting, too, as we read through this back in verse 12, and we were staying in that city for some days. Once they get there, they are spending time there, probably checking out the city, see what is what there. But you go oftentimes in the Bible from something big and general down to a specific. And that's the way life is. You go through so many days, but on this certain day, you meet somebody that you're going to be able to talk to. But consider the role of the one presenting the gospel to Lydia. And again, as I said, there's Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke. They're all in the city of Philippi. Again, Paul is on his second evangelistic tour. And as we read, Paul had been concentrating his efforts in preaching to Asia Minor, and he had made no preparation to go to Macedonia, where Lydia was at the time. But the Lord sent him there. He sent him there. Back to verse 6. When they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood up and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to him. So one of the things, considering the role of the one preaching the gospel to Lydia, Paul, whenever God told him to do something, he never hesitated. He never hesitated at all. Immediately he did it. So they come down to preach, and when they arrive, they start looking for who to preach to. And if we turn over to Acts chapter 17, beginning at verse 1, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there is a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went in to them, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer, rise from again from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus, whom I preach to you, is the Christ." Here we see that it was Paul's custom to go in to the synagogue on the Sabbath to reason with the Jews. Evidently, there weren't many Jews at Philippi because there wasn't a synagogue. And according to history and Jewish custom, you had to have at least 10 male Jews in order to have a synagogue. And to understand what a synagogue is also, it wasn't a place of worship, but it was a place where they would read the law and teach the law, where the Jewish men would come together to read and to teach it. And that's why Paul would always go there on the Sabbath, where he would have an opportunity to speak up and to say something about how this law was fulfilled. So he's there, we know, at least over the Sabbath period or leading up to it, to know that there isn't a synagogue, but he hears that prayer was customarily made down by the river. So when he goes into this area, he's again checking out to see where he can preach the word. Where can he do that? He goes down to the riverside on the Sabbath, and he found women meeting at the river to pray. How many women? We don't know. Could have been a dozen, could have been 50. We just don't know. The Bible doesn't say, so we don't know. But when you stop and think about Paul, and I think about myself, if you went to a city to preach to people and you were, as Paul, and you kept looking for people and you went to the synagogue, well, there's nobody here to preach to, would you give up? Would I give up? I don't know. It's got to be discouraging. He goes to this place that he's not planning on, and then when he goes to the synagogue, there is no synagogue, but he goes where these women are praying. And I always try, as I said, we need to take the Bible and make it practical, where we apply it to our lives. How does this fit in to my life? What are the lessons that I can learn? So I always try to learn as many lessons as I can from the Bible. Sometimes it takes a while for them to sink in through my head. And I try to learn lessons from the preachers in the Bible. So when I look at this, Paul is planning on going to one place, but he ends up going to a different place. Paul is expecting to find Jewish men to speak to and to teach to in the synagogue, but he doesn't. And he goes down by the riverside and he finds a group of women praying. The lesson, again, one soul is worth more than the whole world. When he goes to Philippi, one soul is worth more than the whole world. Paul found this one soul in an unlikely way, in an unlikely place, and in an unlikely time. Or was it? Or was it the providence of God? God will always bring a person that is searching for the truth into contact with someone that has the truth. And with this too, would we be willing to do that? And who does God use to do his work, as we read about in the Bible? It's just regular, ordinary people, workers, people that are busy working, doing things day in, day out. If we wait and we think, I'm going to wait to serve the Lord till some great big occasion happens, it's never going to happen, and we're never going to work when that arrives. We need to be busy daily. If we think of waiting till that big occasion arrives, Satan has already muddled up our mind and we wouldn't do anything when that opportunity presents itself anyway. So we see Paul is out persistently and I'm sure prayerfully looking for who is he going to speak to. So now we come to look at the conversion of Lydia. But before we get to her conversion, think of some of the other conversions that precede her in the book of Acts. The conversion of the Jews on the day of Pentecost. The conversion of Paul himself. The conversion of the Ethiopian treasurer. The conversion of Cornelius and now Lydia. What's the common thread with all those people that I just mentioned? What's the common thread? The Jews on Pentecost, Paul, the Ethiopian treasurer, and Cornelius. What's the common thread? They were all religious people. They all worshiped God in some manner before their conversion. Now, I want to make two extreme observations on this point. Some will say, join the church of your choice. Which one doesn't matter? If it didn't matter which church you belong to, if it didn't matter how you worship God, there would have been no need for Paul to go and to preach in Philippi. There would have been no need for him to go and preach to this group of women. Some will say on the other extreme, and I've said this myself sometimes, religious people already have their minds made up. They don't want to hear the gospel. And you know what? Both of those extremes are wrong. They're both wrong. If we read Acts 16, we see they are both wrong. Religious people need saving. I just mentioned the ones leading up to Lydia, and now we have Lydia that's going to obey the gospel. Throughout Acts, the gospel was proclaimed to religious people. And without Jesus, religious people are lost. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and there is no other way to God except through Christ. There's no other name but Jesus whereby one can be saved, Acts 4:12. He's the only mediator between God and man, 1 Timothy 2:5 and 6. But it's not enough to be religious. We need Christ as our Savior. But I need, speaking for myself, never to make the mistake again and say, well, religious people aren't interested. They are. And we have example after example in the book of Acts. And notice, she heard Paul and the Lord opened her heart to heed what he said. So what does this expression mean? The Lord opened his heart, her heart. Does it mean what the denominationalists say? That God had to send the Holy Spirit or had to do some miraculous work on her to open her heart so that she could hear the word? Well, stop and think about this. Before any mention is made of her heart being opened, she is said to have heard the preaching. She heard the preaching. Now, a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. So she didn't need her heart open to hear. And that's what some denominationalists will say. You can't hear and understand the word of God unless God opens your heart first. She heard, then her heart was open to heed it. This, when you stop and think about that phrase, opened her heart, that implies that her heart was in some way closed. Her mind was closed to receiving Christ. Was it because she was a wicked, sinful person? No. She was religious. She was meeting to pray. Was it because of inherited depravity and she had no choice? No, her mind just was not receptive to receiving the truth. The statement then that the Lord opened her heart meant that in some way, somehow, things had been removed that had prevented her from receiving Christ. And when these were taken away, then she could receive Christ as Savior and thereby be saved. And it would have been possibly through several things. Definitely through hearing the word. Again, back by that reasoning. The reasoning, hearing the word, and then also by the events that were taking place. The Lord opened the heart of Lydia, and it was done through the word of this preacher, Paul. And we need to keep that in mind. I need to keep that in mind. When we're talking to people, when I'm talking to people, I don't have anything to say. I don't have one thing to say from myself. It's just we open God's word and let God's word, we share that with people. And we need, friends, we need to understand why people's hearts are closed today. And once we understand why their hearts are closed, then we can open them so that they will be receptive to the gospel. We can also infer or deduce from this that when Paul spoke, what's one of the things that he spoke about? What did he preach about? Baptism. He preached about baptism. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." So she persuaded us. In preaching to her, it included baptism. Why would it include baptism? Well, if he was preaching the gospel, that's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the only way that we can have that reconciliation is by the blood of Christ. The only way we come in contact of that is through baptism. Why doesn't Luke say, well, Paul preached to her about baptism and then she was baptized? Somebody might ask that. Well, you got to keep in mind too, who recorded all of these conversions in the book of Acts? It was Luke. He wrote the book of Acts, and we see over and over the steps that take place. And he wouldn't have to go back and mention every step, every time, as he is relating these accounts as he's traveling with Paul. So, what was the result of Lydia's conversion? The logical conclusion to the gospel preaching, as it is in every case that we can read in the book of Acts, is baptism. It's baptism. And it happens quickly. People don't put it off. If their heart is opened, they don't want to go to hell. They don't want to go to torment. When that light comes on and they see, I'm in a lost condition. And I tell you, when I was baptized when I was 13, and when I was having thoughts about that, as I was thinking, some nights it was like, wow, I hope I don't die tonight. I hope I don't die. Because I knew my soul wasn't right. It wasn't right. And when I made up my mind, I didn't want to put it off. And nobody could have stopped me from being baptized. And after I was baptized, I felt like I had this peace and the weight of the world had been lifted. We see that with Lydia. We see obedience. That's one of the things we see as a result of her conversion. We see obedience. Lydia was a successful merchant, but she knew that there was something more valuable than money. Her worship and prayer gave her the opportunity to hear the gospel, and she showed faithfulness to God by obeying the gospel immediately through faith and baptism. We also see from her conversion an indication of faithfulness. we see that first by her baptism, that she had the faith to carry through and be baptized. But in verse 15, and when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." She is showing that she knows just being baptized isn't enough. She has to have a faithful life as she serves God. We also see from her conversion hospitality. Again, verse 15. "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained us. She begged us. Luke is saying she begged us to come to her house. And again, just to get some idea of her means that she had. So she had a household. She had people in the house. It doesn't go into detail. We don't know if they were servants, workers, whoever. She was rich enough, being a woman, to have a house. She was had enough money where she had a household, people living in there. And her house was big enough that she could invite Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke and say, "Come to my house." She wanted to show hospitality. With this too, when we get down to the end of the chapter, in verse 40, "So they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and departed." So from this, we can again infer, when they entered the house of Lydia, and when they had seen the brethren, who would the brethren have been? That would have been her household that was baptized. And also we have the conversion of the Philippian jailer and his household. So all of these people would have been at Lydia's house in verse 40. We also see the providence of God leading people who are prepared to share the gospel to come in contact with someone that needs to hear the gospel. Just as in the case of Cornelius, just as in the case of the Ethiopian treasurer. So why do we have these accounts recorded for us? To know that they keep on happening today. God needs us to share the gospel with others. We see the providence of God working. So the conversion of Lydia is another instance in which God has sent someone to share the gospel to an individual. The preacher Paul, he did not let prejudice prevent him from preaching the gospel. He could have gone and said, "Well, there's no synagogue here. I'm not going to waste my time here. There's no Jewish men." He keeps looking. He sees these women. He doesn't say, "Well, these women, I'm not going to waste my time with them. And this woman, she's a business person. She's not interested in the gospel." He could have had excuse after excuse after excuse. But you see the heart of Paul that we read about earlier, his heart in verse 10. "Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia." You know, God's sending us here. I'm not going to put it off. We see the heart of Lydia when she hears the gospel. She's baptized. So the preacher preaches, the sinner believes and obeys the command of God sent by his messengers. So many lessons in this little account of Lydia. And I think it's interesting too, and this is an aside point, but just to see the travelings of Paul and his companions, where Timothy is picked up. He comes here. He's with them as he comes to Philippi. And when you get down to verse 40, so they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. Luke switches from we to they. Most likely, Luke stays here in Philippi as this new church has started. And you just stop and think about that too. The value of one soul. The value of one soul. Here, Lydia receives the gospel. Her household is baptized also. Then you have the Philippian jailer receives the gospel in his household. And from these two souls in their households, you have the beginning of the church at Philippi. And you think about all the good that the church of Philippi had done and still continues to do from the letter that was written to them. That church will last in our minds till Christ returns. So much good, and it came from the beginning of preaching to Lydia. Do we see opportunities to preach to people today? You too can be saved like Lydia if you do what Lydia did. And you can be saved by obeying the gospel. Resolve to do it just like Lydia did. Don't put it off. Resolve to do it. Now is the time to obey the gospel. If we can assist anyone, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.
I heard the voice.